flight stopped by new chaos among a million Rwandan refugees. Israel-Jordan border talks underway. Bosnian Serb parliament expected to reject international peace map. Good Monday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Mortar fire has caused bloody stampedes among some of the million Rwandan refugees who've streamed into Zaire. And because of the chaos, vital aid flights have been suspended. About 170 people were killed there. BBC reporter Lindsay Hilsum in Goma, Zaire, says relief officials blame rebels of the Rwandan Patriotic Front.
A spokesman for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees said the attack was a criminal act. He said morale amongst aid workers was very low. They wanted to help the refugees, but with relief flights suspended, they simply couldn't get in enough food, medicines, or shelter. There was a lot of shooting near the border overnight, and some in the town of Goma near the airport. There are piles of abandoned weapons in the streets for anyone to pick up, and Zairean soldiers can be seen robbing the refugees openly in daylight.
Up to 100,000 Rwandans fled the French-controlled safe haven into Bukavu in neighboring Zaire. General Paul Kagame, commander of the RPF, has declared victory and called a ceasefire, as BBC newsman Mark Doyle reports from Kigali.
A relaxed and confident General Kagame said the Patriotic Front had won the war and would now concentrate on inviting refugees to return home. He said Hutus who had not taken part in the genocide in Rwanda, organized by the extremist Hutu former regime, would come back.
A U.S. delegation arrived today to assess the humanitarian need. As Secretary of State Christopher met in Jerusalem with Israeli Prime Minister Rabin, top Israeli and Jordanian officials began televised pre-summit talks on their border. Jesse Shulman has more.
Israeli and Jordanian officials are meeting at a desert tent camp set up for the occasion. The negotiating table is precisely positioned so that each delegation sits in its own territory. This is the first time Israel and Jordan have met openly on Middle Eastern soil, a sign these talks are for real. Jordan's delegation leader, Fayez Tirana, said he hoped the location would
inspire us to arrive at tangible results so that the fruits of our common endeavors may be felt by ordinary men and women in our long-suffering region.
Israel's chief delegate, Eliakim Rubinstein, offered optimism.
The potential for our relationship to prosper is there.
Today's talks are part of the lead-up to next week's White House meeting between Israel's Prime Minister Rabin and Jordan's King Hussein. The two leaders have met secretly before, but their first public summit is expected to amount to a declaration of peace between two countries technically at war since 1948. Jesse Shulman, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Israeli troops have shot and wounded two West Bank Palestinians during a protest in Hebron over yesterday's killing of two Gaza Arabs. A powerful explosion in central Buenos Aires this morning has injured several people. It came in a building that houses the Israeli-Argentine Mutual Association. The Muslim-dominated Bosnian parliament and the Bosnian Serb assembly are both meeting today to vote on the international peace map, giving the Serbs 49% of the republic and the Muslims and Croats the rest. It's expected the Serbs will reject it, and that, says mediator Lord Owen, would mean more suffering.
If we do find that the Bosnian Serbs intend to prosecute a war at increased pace, there are real dangers that we will see a very marked deterioration in the situation on the ground, and if it goes on into the winter, then there'll be difficulty of getting people fed.
And the United Nations peacekeepers may just pull out. Lieutenant General Michael Rose is the UN commander.
There is a limit to how much enforcement a peacekeeping force can undertake, and therefore there would come a time when I would have to say, as the commander of the Bosnia-Herzegovina command of a peacekeeping force, that I really do have to hand over to somebody else, such as NATO, if we're going to go further down the route of enforcement.
Haiti's military-backed regime says it will protest what it calls violations of its airspace by U.S. military aircraft, broadcasting messages from exiled President Aristide. Italian prosecutors have issued at least 10 arrest warrants for suspects in the 1992 assassination of anti-mafia prosecutor Paolo Borsellino. He and five bodyguards were killed by a car bomb. French President Francois Mitterrand is reported doing well after surgery for what doctors call a urinary disorder. 2 years ago, he was operated on for prostate cancer. In Rome, 62-year-old Rosanna Della Corte gave birth to a boy today, becoming the world's oldest mother. She'd had a donor's fertilized eggs implanted in her uterus. One of the biggest of 21 comet fragments has smashed into Jupiter at more than 130,000 miles an hour. And at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, astronomer Steve Marin says the impacts have been spectacular.
The reports from astronomers at ground-based observatories around the world have confirmed that this was the biggest smash ever. On two of the telescopes, the detectors went off scale. And at least one of the telescopes, the impact site was briefly brighter than the whole planet Jupiter in infrared light.
Dr. Carolyn Shoemaker helped discover this comet.
It looked like Jupiter was really bruised by the impacts. At that point, we could see three, and now there are four very dark spots.
The comet strikes will go on for several days. Published reports say O.J. Simpson's lawyers plan to attack the detective who found the bloody glove on his estate. The New Yorker magazine says the defense will argue that Detective Mark Furman was a racist officer with a history of psychological problems and that he planted the glove the morning after Simpson's ex-wife Nicole and Ron Goldman were killed. Kevin Elders, 28-year-old son of U.S. Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders, goes on trial today in Little Rock, charged with selling cocaine to undercover agents. Mrs. Elders has taken a week's leave of absence to be in the courtroom. President Clinton speaks in Miami today.
This is Dan Revive. The National Hispanic Organization that President Clinton will address at lunch opened its four-day conference with a celebration of Hispanic culture. Today, organizers have high expectations.
That the president will enunciate clearly the fact that his administration gives the Hispanic community a high priority.
With specific promises on education and immigration. That's what Raul Izaguirre, president of this group called La Raza, is expecting. In exchange, he offers votes.
You simply cannot win a presidential election unless you win the key states of California, Texas, New York, Illinois, Florida. And those are exactly the states where Hispanics are concentrated.
But culture and politics don't always unite the 28 million Hispanics in the U.S. Some Cuban Americans have kept their distance from the La Raza organization, insisting that it speak out against Fidel Castro. So now it is. Dan Revive, CBS News, Miami Beach.
In Brazil, soccer fans celebrated the country's defeat of Italy for the World Cup championship. Candice Piet has more in Sao Paulo.
The sky exploded with rockets when the Italian player missed the penalty goal, which decided the match. People leapt into each other's arms, and the crowd became a sea of green and yellow flags. The main avenue in São Paulo, Paulista, became one huge party. Enormous sound systems pumped out samba and axé music from Bahia most of the night. This is perhaps one of the most important victories in the history of Brazilian football, but it's also expected to have an impact on the general and presidential elections in October. Brazilians will be going to the polls in a confident mood, sure of their talents, and perhaps less demanding of their politicians. Candice Piet for CBS News, São Paulo.
The dollar is lower overseas. London gold is up $1.40, and on Wall Street, the Dow is off just over 10 points. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past the hour.